I asked my son before the meeting if I could say something tonight or just finish off where we began this morning. We've been talking about the second coming of Jesus, right? Yes. And we've decided that we're not going to go and sit on top of a mountain and wait for him to come, right? Isn't that what we said? But what are we going to do now as we go home? What did Jesus say? Waiting for me, I want you to
occupy.
Yes, see, you remembered that word, right? He wants us to occupy. And then we made a list of all the good works that we could do when we got back to the city. And that wasn't just for the young people. That's for all of us. We go to so many different churches, and there are so many things that are needed to be done, practical things. And God needs each one of us to do these things in our churches. And so I just wanted you to turn to the book of Titus. Did you ever read the book of Titus? I'll tell you where it is. You know what Thessalonians is now, right, in your Bible? The next book is 1 and 2 Timothy. And then the next book is a little book named Titus. Actually, it's a letter. Paul not only wrote to his churches, but he wrote to individuals. And Timothy and Titus were young ministers. They were young men. And he had something to say to them. All right, let's turn to Titus 2, 6 to 7. Now we're talking about good works. We're going to find good works mentioned 4 times in the book of Titus. Now maybe you want to take out your notebooks. You got a pencil? You got a pen? And next to the whole list that you made this morning, this is what you're going to do with your good works. He gives us instructions. How are we to treat good works? All right? Titus 2, 6 to 7. Now let's read it together. Ready? Young men, together. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Thus far. What is he telling Titus? What is he telling him in these few words? Show yourself what? A pattern of good works. What's another word for pattern? Titus, you're a young minister. I want you to be a what of good works besides pattern. What's another word?
Example.
Who said it?
Example.
Yes. Titus, I want you to be not only a pattern, but an example to whoever you speak to. Be an example of good works. Can we take that to ourselves? Can you be an example of good works when you go back to your church? Or do you want to be? Yes or no?
Yes.
Say it with enthusiasm.
Yes.
Amen, yeah. We want to be a pattern, an example of good works. You've done your good works here. Now you're going to go home. All right, next. 2, 13, and 14. Let's read it together. Here he's mentioning again the coming of Jesus. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. What's the word here? What about good works? How are we to do them?
Zealous.
What's another word?
Eager.
I don't hear it.
Enthusiastic.
That's somebody saying it. Say it loud.
Enthusiastically.
Are you enthusiastic?
Yes.
I don't know. How do you show enthusiasm? You get excited about something. You're zealous about it. You can't wait to perform it. Are you enthusiastic about Jesus?
Yes.
About doing good works? You know, a fellow came to camp a few years ago. In fact, he's a nephew of mine. And he came to camp to be a counselor. And he said, Aunt Martha, I came to camp, but I'm not enthused about it. You know what I felt like telling him? Go home. You come to camp to be a counselor, and you're enthusiastic about it? How can you bless these boys? You need God's enthusiasm. Do you believe that? In anything that you, any good work that you do, in order to be a good influence and a pattern, you have to be enthusiastic about what you're doing. You think you can do that?
Yes.
And that's the Spirit of God within you. I don't like to work with people who aren't enthusiastic. It's such a drag. You know, I have to do it. You can't do it enthusiastically and be happy about it. So you got that down now? You're going to be zealous and you're going to be what? Enthusiastic. All right, the next one, 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to be obedient to magistrates, and to be
ready
to every good work. What's another word for ready? You want to be ready for every good work when you get home? What?
Prepared.
All right, another word, beginning with A. I'm ready. I am
available.
Very good. I'm available. You go to your minister, your pastor, your youth leader. Say, I'm available. Is there anything that I can do to help promote the gospel in our church or in our neighborhood? I want to be available. I want to be ready. All right, now the fourth one. 3:8. 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Sometimes that's a little bit difficult. You volunteer, you make yourself available, you're enthusiastic to begin with, and then after a while, what happens? It becomes, oh, I have to do it? So what's the word here?
Maintain.
You maintain good works. Keep on doing it. What's another word for maintain?
Devoted to.
Devoted to. Well, keep on.
Consistency.
Consistently, yeah. Yes. Keep at it. Consistently. All right, now what do you have down? Four things about good works. Number one?
Example.
Be an example or a
pattern.
Number two?
Zealous.
Be zealous or
enthusiastic.
Be ready or available. Maintain good works and be consistent and keep it up. Do you think we're going to need the Lord to help us?
Yes.
I think so. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. We give up too soon sometimes. But I think if I had to pray for you, for all of us, I would pray what Paul prayed. What did he pray? Establish them in every good word and work. And I think I'm going to endeavor to do that when I get home, to remember at camp that everyone would be established in a good word and a good work. We could pray that for each other. All right, now that's all I wanted to say about that. I just didn't feel that I finished with scripture this morning, so I just wanted to prove to you that the good works are here by Paul. And one thing that we didn't finish last night, which I'd like to talk about too, I'll take only 5 minutes, all right? Who gave their life to Jesus? Number one, in your books, in the chart in the back. Who said, keep my life? Who was the example that we talked about last night? Number one, the first box. You got a name there?
Samuel.
You know, we're talking about giving our lives, but did Samuel have to give his life to Jesus? What did his mother do? His mother gave him to the work of the Lord before he was even born. And so it came to my mind, Samuel, when did you finally give up your life to Jesus or to God? Jesus wasn't there yet. And I think after his mother brought him to Eli, the priest, and he worked in the tabernacle there, somewhere Samuel must have followed through. He didn't have to, did he? He had a will. He didn't have to serve God. He could have rebelled. But this little boy, he continued on serving the Lord. He gave his life, dedicated it to serving God. And as he was growing up, he's growing up in whose family? Where are his parents? And where is he living now? When did he see his parents? His mother brought him to the Eli, said, you can have him. You can have him for the rest of his life. How often did he see his mother and father?
Once a year.
And what did his mother bring? A coat. He grew, see? So every year she made him a new coat. What about Eli's sons, the priest's sons? What do you know about them?
They were wicked.
Here's the priest, and he has two wicked sons who are helping him in the duties around the tabernacle. And here's this young boy growing up in Eli's family. These men are wicked, they're evil, they're sinful, they were fornicators. Place yourself in that position. Do you think those men influenced Samuel?
No.
For good or bad?
They tried to.
They could have influenced him for bad. He's in their family. He's not living with his parents. But you know, take my life, and then what do we sing?
Keep my life.
And did God keep Samuel?
Yes.
In the midst of all that evil, did God keep Samuel? Yes. Right to the end of his life. He was a prophet. He was a priest. He was a judge. And God kept him all those days. And I'd like to ask you, boys and girls, young people. I got your yellow slips the other day, all right? I got more today. Thank you. And on those slips, I asked you for your age. How old do you think these young people are? Take a guess. How old? What age range? Take a guess. 15? 16? 17? 19? And Brother James is a little bit older. But look, these are teenagers, all right? These are teenagers. And they've devoted 2 weeks to God. Now, you're going back, right? You're going to high school? Yes? How many are going back to high school? See? How many are going to college? Put your hand way up. Look. You're starting college. And how many may be going back to a job? Nobody? All right. One, two. You're going back to a job. All right. Are you going back to a group of Christian people? There are going to be Christians all around you when you go to high school?
No.
And when you go to college, you're going to be surrounded with so many good young people. Yes or no?
No.
Are you scared?
No.
Are you scared? Are you going to let them influence you?
No.
Yes?
No.
No, you're not going to let them influence you. Because God has done something for you here at camp. And we're going to pray for you. I just want to tell you who are going to college. You go there and you're away from home. You might not even be able to get to a church. So what are you going to do? You don't know anybody in the college. How are you going to find a Christian friend? How do you go about that? Does anybody know who's been to college? How do you go about getting a friend?
Raul knows.
Raul knows? Okay, Raul is from our church. And Raul was saved miraculously. And he went through high school. He went through college in the city. And now he's going to, what do they call it, graduate school? But he left us and he's going to Virginia. He's been there a year already. He doesn't know anybody in Virginia. What did you do, Raul? Stand up and tell me. I know, but tell everybody else.
I got involved with a Bible study group for campus ministry. Every college has a campus ministry, so I got in contact with one of them and started attending the meetings and stuff like that. And then usually from there, they tell you all the churches around, you know, around the area.
Okay.
So that's what I end up doing.
Okay. Now, if you're going to college, go to the bulletin board, all right? They have bulletin boards. Go to the bulletin board and see if there's any announcement, any page on that bulletin board that says there's a Christian club here in this college. Look it up. Go to the room where they're meeting. Introduce yourself and you'll find other Christian young people. You think you can do that? Or are you ashamed? Or are you bashful? I think you better do it. Find a Christian club. There is one, I think, at every college. They go on to Campus Crusade. They go under the word InterVarsity. And they make announcements on the bulletin boards. Yes?
And if there is no one, they could make one.
If there is no club, you could make
you
one.
You could make one, yeah, because when you pay fees to the college allocate money for clubs. So any student has the right to go and open a club.
Good. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Whoa. You become the leader of a Christian club. Wow. I'll tell you about my granddaughter. She went to Queens College. This is Valerie. Some of you know her. And she joined herself with this Christian club with the young people. And one day was set aside by the college that all the clubs in the college could set up a table in a certain room and they could advertise their club. So what do you think the Christian club did?
Advertise.
They got a table. What did they put on the table?
Christian literature.
They put Christian literature. Let's be specific. They brought Bibles. They brought New Testaments. They brought devotional books. They brought tracts. I don't know if they had the one with the big eye, huh? I don't know. But they brought all these things, and they displayed them on the table. And then when other students came and looked or inquisitive, then they would step forward and they would explain to them. They would witness to them. And try it. These are just suggestions. Because you're going to be a light. You understand that? In a dark place. And we as older people, do we have a responsibility? What good work can we do for these young people? A good work.
Pray
for them. Write to them. If you don't have their addresses, ask to Salita. She'll give you a list of all their addresses. Write to them. And if they're in your church, encourage them. Visit them if you can, if they go to a faraway college. And so, I think I've delivered myself. I trust I'm going to meet you again. And you're going to be better. And you're going to be more enthusiastic. And you're going to be more zealous. And you're going to keep at it. And we're going to pray for you that God's going to be with you. And I'd like to sing with you, Make Me a Blessing. Can we sing that together? Make Me a Blessing. Okay. To someone when I get home. I think it's 281.
281. 281. Stand as we sing.
Sing the last verse.
Give as one's given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true.
Jesus, shine. Make me a blessing. As a staff, we've had the theme before us of being kept for the Master's use. Take my life. Keep my life. Take my moments and my days. Keep my moments and my days. God is able to keep us for His service. Tonight, I'd just like to complete some of these P's that we had at the beginning of our book. In the front of our book, there's that page, the first page. It says, kept for the Master's use, and we already spoke about presenting ourselves to God. We yield ourselves. Romans 12:1, that was the verse that you memorized. Did anyone get a boathouse treat today from Brother Eddie? One? Two? Oh, they have not collected on it. Good. But you knew the verse. Can you say the verse for me? I beseech you. Or how's it go in that translation? Together.
I appeal to you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
12?
1.
Very good. Present. We yield ourselves. We say, Lord Jesus, take me. Take me, take me. Now, my son got inspired by the girls. And he wants to sing for us tonight. We had been practicing this song at home. And he could use, help from Katie and Audrey, but he's here tonight by himself, so Daddy's going to help him become David. I'm so thankful that our young people have a desire to serve the Lord. This is my boy. I remember when I was little, and Dad would get up and say, "That's my boy," meaning me. Now I can say it. "That's my boy." All right, Dave. Then we can do this? Take us, dear Lord.